time as far as the weather goes. It was a bit cold for some of us. It's a bit warm for some of us. So it's on back there. So let me know if you get too hot or too cold, and I'll try to honor your time this morning. I'll share this the best way I can in the time that I have. I've been speaking on spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines, I have a quote from that, and that these are habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. And they're personal or corporate. I like this. They're not gifts, but they're disciplines. And it's not whether I feel like it or not. And I've shared this oftentimes. Many times I don't feel like praying, or I don't feel like doing different things, but I do it because my heart is to connect with the Lord. They're disciplines. Sometimes discipline leads to desire. These are things that are found in Scripture, and the goal is to become like Jesus. So if I go on a 40-day fast and never meet Jesus, then I've wasted 40 days. I've gone on a hunger strike. So the point of any spiritual discipline is to meet Jesus. And we've gone through many of them: fasting, prayer and giving, Bible reading, meditation, memorization, community, which I really like that one, silence and solitude. And today I am going to do a little different, and it's one that, I'll be honest, all the spiritual disciplines I've shared to this point have been easy for me to share on. Some of them, I'll say especially the community one, was really hit me hard in the gut, because I realized how much my American individualism has shaped the way I see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, and I'm trying to adjust and adapt to that. But this one, the air conditioner is playing games with my Bible up here. This one is one that honestly I wasn't quite even aware of until recently. And it's one, to be completely transparent with you, I'm probably not going to do a great job sharing on it, because it hasn't really been integrated into my life the way that the other ones have. But I'm going to do the best I can, because I feel like it's very important. And it's on worship, but it's a different kind of worship. It's on the laments, worshiping as a lament. And I've shared on worship here before. I've done it many times. One of my favorite teachings is on the Tabernacle of David. Maybe I can go back and do that sometime. I love it. And as you're going through scriptures, we can find that the command to sing is found 50 times in the scriptures, and there's 400 references to singing. And Jesus, if you remember, with his disciples before he went to the cross, what did they do? They took the Lord's Supper and they sang together. And worship is vitally important, but one of the aspects of worship, and one of the things Jesus would have done as a practicing Jew, is they sing the Psalms. In fact, if you go in and there's a denomination, I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but the only worship they do is they sing Psalms. That is it. They'll go through, what a great way to memorize the book of Psalms. They go in and sing the Psalms, and they're opposed to, you know, other types of worship, and that's fine. That's their conviction. The Psalms are beautiful to sing. But two-thirds of the Psalms are classified as laments. And it's the same, if you could, just because of the air, I want to make sure they can hear me in the back. Crank me up in the house just a little bit more. I want to be cognizant in the back. There's a study that was done as well that 1% of our contemporary worship songs are classified as a lament. You know, in fact, someone sent me, it'd probably be helpful if I read what a lament is first. Pete Scazzaro had this definition. He says, laments pay attention to the reality that life can be difficult and hard, and takes notice of the apparent absence of God. They cry out to God for comfort and care when circumstances say that he is not good. And the true reality is that all of us, if you've just been a human being for any length of time, or walk with God, you'll come through circumstances and situations where you'll say, this doesn't add up, and this doesn't seem good. And he goes on to say, the laments wrestle with God's faithful love. He goes on and says, lament is a spiritual practice that seeks to incorporate the experience of loss into the broader story of our lives before God. It says, where grief threatens to shatter the coherence of our story, lament opens the heart once again to the possibility of a recovered sense of wholeness. And 1% of our contemporary worship songs would be classified as a lament. In fact, I heard one not very long ago, and the Lord convicted me because I said, I listened to like a minute of it, and I was like, this is just, it's too gloomy. I'm not going to listen to that. And I recognized this, whoever this artist was, it was a lament, and it was healthy and whole. And I've come to just be walking with God for the time I have, working with people the time I have. I'm convinced that spiritual health and emotional health are inseparable.
Yeah.
And I'm a whole, you know, spirit, soul, body, salvation, soteria. I've always believed that for a long time. I've always probably spiritualized it too much. Mm-hmm. But my spirit can be vibrant, but if emotionally, mentally, I'm a mess, I've seen people over and over again, that catches up, and it catches up because my spirit, soul, and body, talks about throughout Scripture, we're whole beings.
Right.
And the Lord wants all of us to be healthy and whole.
Right.
That means my spirit also means how I process things emotionally. And I've been amazed because I've come to that realization probably a year or two ago, and it's just been more of an aha in the last few months where it's really been central to me, and I've seen it, and it's so important. As I go through Scripture, I see all the things that I miss. When I was reading Lamentations this morning, speaking of laments, there's a whole book, Lamentations, in the Bible. And I was reading the end of it, and Jeremiah wrote that these are the last three verses. He says, "Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long of a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old." And I love this last verse because I can just see him sitting there. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. And I was reading that this morning. I just kind of chuckled to myself. Can you imagine? Because he didn't know what was coming. He saw, hey, Jerusalem's being destroyed. He had no idea what was coming down the pipe. Unless you've utterly rejected us and you're very angry with us. And so the Lord led him, you know, Scripture, we're going to do the Bible canon class. There's a whole book in here about this. And the Psalms are filled with it. I wrote down, Michael, I'm sure we're short again this week, my friend. Michael called me this week, we're short. But there are, if you did get a Scripture thing, I did put some of the Psalms down that are healthy laments. And I've preached on one of them before. But just as a quick... as a quick FYI, there's different losses that we all go through. And I want to say this, losses affect different people in different ways. And it's important that we understand that and we don't project our experience on someone else. Because
right.
Something may affect someone in one way and it does affect this person. And sometimes I've found myself in this place as well. We're more Job's friends than we are just a presence that can sit there and walk and pray with someone. Especially as a pastor, oftentimes there's an urging to feel like you have to have an answer for someone. When you grow to realize, you know, there's times when you don't have an answer. And what we're going to do at the end, I'm going to give a brief thing to you. It was about 3 weeks ago, I wrote my first lament. And I'm going to just go through that. And that was a very healthy thing for me to do. But there's natural losses. When I graduated high school, I remember I had sadness when it was over. Because you're in there, you're like, we'll never be with all these people again. And it's true. There's just some natural things. Your pet dies. You know, someone moves away. There are natural losses that affect people in different ways. There's hidden losses we go through in life. You know, if you have a miscarriage, people may not know about it. But those are hard, you know, and a hidden loss that you have in your life. There's tragic ones. And I've shared my uncle was killed in a car wreck a couple years ago. That's a tragic loss. And it's just talking to him in the morning, his brother, and bam, you know. And all of these things affect us. And sometimes the tendency, especially in our culture, is to get over it, breeze past it, and move on.
Yeah.
And what happens is when we don't process these with God, as the Scriptures teach us to, it seeps out in different ways. So it seeps out in cynicism or anger or bitterness. And that can be all sorts of losses or things in our life if we've never processed them with God. And that takes different time frames at different lengths for different people. And all of us have a tendency, you know, this might not be the most uplifting thing in the world, I don't know, but it's biblical truth. all of us have the tendency to have something happen, you know, especially in younger years or whatever, and it's a hurt, it's a loss, it's a grief, and because we never properly bring it before God and deal with it, it affects all of our relationships in the future, affects how we relate to people, and that's a, sometimes that's a subconscious way that we do it because we've never really seen the lament. I've never heard a message on laments until recently. Never heard it. And usually it's just get up, God is good, amen. That's true, but sometimes this is so important for some of us. It's okay to process it, work through it, as long as we're going to God.
Right.
Because that's the difference that separates it. Either I go into a tailspin without Him,
right,
or I take it to Him, right, and I can either get bitter or better.
Right.
And that's just reality. And some of us have had more losses and tragedies than others, and I'm aware of that. You know, many of you have had more than I have, and I'm aware of that. But the principle remains true. And so, I've shared how people are affected differently. Something as small as this, let's say, and we're not doing this, but let's say this church, let's say we're going to sell the building and move it to Mystic. This happens, like if a church moves or replants, sometimes people will really, here's a better example, let's say we take the pews out and put chairs in. You'd be amazed at people who have an attachment to a pew. It's the truth. And it happens. And sometimes my tendency, just get over it. But sometimes you recognize people process, maybe this pew, maybe they met God in their tears right here, and that's a special, special thing to them. And to take it out would be ripping something apart, or maybe it's a childhood. Everyone processes these things. We think a loss, if someone gets killed, is a loss can be I lose my pew. And it's something here that's, and it's just something that we go through, and everyone deals with it and processes it differently. And as believers, as a church, we're a place for healing as well.
Yes.
And one of the worst things we can do is say, you have to just get over that because this is, we experience this, we're in a Bible school, they change the name. Mm-hmm. And you'd be amazed at the people who just grieved over the name. I actually did. Mm-hmm. And then we would hear, you just got to get over it, move on. Maybe I need to have a lament before the Lord. Maybe I need to process. This is where I met God. This is where these things happen. And so that's so important. Jesus lamented. In Hebrews 5:7 it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. When Lazarus died, what did he do? I don't know. Jesus wept. He didn't say, oh, it's going to be when Jesus was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a lament. He didn't say, shout out, you know, I'm victorious. He said, it's finished. My God, my God. He's fully God and fully man.
Right.
And he was dealing with great, when he stood over Jerusalem in Matthew 23 before the destruction of the temple. Oh, Jerusalem and Jerusalem. And he laments and grieves over the condition of his people. He didn't say, you cursed people who, you know, missed it. He grieved and lamented. You know, when David, he was a type of Jesus, when Saul and Jonathan were killed, I have this passage in there in the battle in 2 Samuel 1. It says that David made a lament, a lamentation, and he led the people in singing a lament about the death of Saul and Jonathan. They processed it. They walked through it. And God was able to bring them out on the other side. And it's so important that we do that and we take those things to God. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Is he King of Kings? Is he Lord of Lords? Is he victorious? Does he always lead us in triumph? Amen. But throughout life, some of the triumph I have is when I go through loss and grief and tragedy. Just as our Lord did. He taught us how to be a human being and walk in his ways, right? And it was Eugene Peterson who said this. We talk about the teachings, the ethics, the do's and nots, but we don't have to talk about the way of Jesus, his lifestyle, and how he lived. All these spiritual disciplines, these are all things that Jesus did, is how he lived his life. Grace, the mystery of God, and God was manifested in the flesh. And so laments, that's one area where I've missed the boat for a long, long time. And the Lord's kind of bringing me back to it. And I do want to go through a passage with you in Psalm chapter 13. That's just one of many. Psalm 13, And I'm going to give you some quick little pointers, quick little things that I'm learning and growing in, because I don't have all the answers with this, obviously, but I'm growing in it. In Psalms chapter 13, it's only 6 verses, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. It starts off, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long?" See a theme there? How long? "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" He was sorrowful every day. He was sorrowful. And this is in the scriptures for us. "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" And then in verse 3, he goes to ask, and he appeals to the character of God. And he said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." One important part of a lament is that we always appeal to the character of God. Because he, as Andrew says more, he is good, whether we see it or feel it or not. I have a great example I'm going to give you from John Milton's Paradise Lost in a minute. In verse 5, he says a confidence in God. He says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So it's just like in Habakkuk. I love that. It's a burden, but it ends with a song. He takes his frustrations, his fears. He thinks God's abandoned him. He has sorrow in his heart daily. He appeals to the character of God, and he still sings in the midst of it. And so, just 3 quick little tips. I'm not going to go through them for very long. But the first aspect of a lament, I would tell you to, and John's, or Peter Scazzaro is someone, I'll be honest, who's helped me tremendously with this. He's one of the few people I found who teach this. And he teaches it well. And I learned a lot from his writings. But the first aspect that we do is that you pay attention to it. And oftentimes throughout life, this is a principle for anything. If there's a hurt inside of us, if there's a loss, if there's a grief, it's very easy to distract myself. You know, Owen's doing a biography on Steve Jobs for his school. The average American, and I actually struggle with this, but maybe it's true. It says the average American will touch his iPhone 2,617 times per day. And look at the screen times. And so oftentimes we can believe Jesus, but we live no different than the world around us, and we wonder why we're a mess. The amount of TV, I forget the amount of the thousands of hours of TV. Now, I'm not opposed to those things. I use my phone. We all need. But when it becomes a distraction to numb the pain, then I'm burying something that the Lord wants me to bring to him. And it's just going to seep out. I can distract myself with busyness, anything I can do to escape it. And the Lord wants us to be spiritually healthy and also emotionally healthy. And we have to combine, Lord, I can't bury this. I have to bring it to you. I have to bring my confusions to you, my doubts to you, my pains to you. And I have to trust you with it. I've told you, I wrote my first lament. I prayed my first prayer, I guess you like my first lament I wrote. I was in the church and I put a little piece in the back, because 2020 especially was so tough for so many people. And I'll say for me, to be transparent with you, only my wife knows details and a couple others, but from July 2020 up until really March was probably really one of the hardest stretches of months I've ever had, probably the hardest one in my life. Because so many different things were going on that no one was aware about. And I was, some of it by necessity, it was easy for me to want to, let's just stay busy. I can't dwell on this. I can't do this. I'm victorious in Christ, and I am. But it's also important that I pause and I pay attention. One thing I do, feeling a certain, okay, Lord, why am I feeling this way? What is it inside of me that's causing me? And how can I bring it to you? I had a situation recently, and a normal common thing happened. It was producing something in me. I had to stop and pay attention. Lord, why do I feel this way on the insides when this happens? And after a while, Holy Spirit says, well, it's an issue of fear and control or something. Okay, Lord, get on my knees. Please help me. You have to help me with this. I can't just believe it. I have to, Lord, I have to walk through it. But to walk through it as a human being, I have to pay attention to it and give it to God and let the Holy Spirit do His work. That's a big part of what a lament is. Is I pay attention to it. Don't escape it, but pay attention to it. Why do I feel this way? And go to God with it. Okay, there's another part. It's waiting on the Lord. It's waiting in the confusing in between. And that's throughout scriptures we'll see times of waiting and processing. Owen's favorite Bible character is Joseph, and so is mine, because I love how he had a vision as a young person and had to go through jail. He was put in a pit. He became a slave. There's no future for a slave. There's no future for someone who's locked up in jail. But he stayed with it, and he stayed with it, and he stayed with it. There's an in-between. You look when Jesus, can you imagine when Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave? I'd be like, man, on Saturday, what are we going to do? What did they do? They hid. They were afraid. I probably would have done the same thing. You know, there's a waiting period, whether it's a couple days or a few years. Yeah. Moses, 40 years. Look at Hannah, right, and Samuel for the kids' devotion. Hannah comes and waiting and waiting and waiting for the birth of my son. Waiting and waiting and waiting. There's always waiting, and oftentimes through Psalms we'll see. Look at Jeremiah. Look where I just read you in Lamentations. There's a waiting process. And like anything in life, we grow bitter or better. I have this. It says, pain causes us to stop and see God. And the late Ravi Zacharias, and I'm aware of what came out after his death, but he would always share a story about a girl who couldn't feel. Her sense of feel was gone. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was younger, like, man, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't hurt or anything, you know? Mm-hmm. But she said the one prayer she has every night is, God, I want to feel pain. Because they have to check her every day to make sure she didn't burn her hand or break something or step on a nail because she can't feel. Because pain has a thing where it gets our attention and it grabs us and it pulls us and it makes us go to God.
Right.
If I step on a nail, that thing's coming out and I'm going to have to put something on it,
right,
or I'm going to get infected. Same thing when I have a pain in my heart, a pain in my life.
Yeah.
That's the time to stop. Pay attention to it. And go to God with it.
Yeah.
God, I don't know why this hasn't been resolved yet, and it's hurting me,
yes,
and I'm running from it.
Yeah.
I need to go with you to this. Amen. So we
Amen.
Wait on the Lord with it. And the last part, and let me actually read this passage because I love it so much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." That's important. Our light affliction, which is but for us, not our long portion. Everything sounds kind of somber. That's not our portion, but we have to walk through it. And how we deal with it makes a big difference. Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. What I see is temporary, what's unseen is eternal. And so the last portion of this is you let the old birth the new. In John 12:24 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." A principle I don't have time to get into throughout Scripture, death brings resurrection. I spoke on a new song a few weeks ago, death brings resurrection, new songs, new seasons, how we respond. I love it in Job at the end. It says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." He walked through hell on earth, and he went through it, and he says, "I used to know about you, but now I see who you are." And I've walked through, and I've come on the other end of it. And John Milton talks in Paradise Lost about a compost pile, about how that's symbol of evil when you cover your compost with, you know, all sorts of junk and trash. And because if you put the good soil over it, after a while it becomes a natural fertilizer and it produces something beautiful. But you may have to wait years for that. You may have to wait a week. You may have to wait years, but you have to wait for it. And it shows how God's able to take the junk in our life. And if I soil it the right way, if I come to God with it, there's a wasp up there. I come to the Lord with it, to get the thing out. He's able to make something beautiful out of the mess.
That's right.
But I first have to recognize that the trash is there.
That's right.
And then go to God with it so we can build it back up. And so the quick thing on laments, and I would encourage you, your homework, I give homework, this would be homework, is how to practice a lament. And I don't know who I got this from. I got it from someone, and I followed this principle when I did mine. But you, the Psalms of Lament, I wrote some down. Read some and pray them. But it says, his introductory, step one is introductory address to God, naming his attributes, his relation to you, he's our Father, recalling his past promises or past deeds on your behalf. So I always go to the Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we start off, I always pray, Lord, you're my Father. Our Father, hallowed be your name, you're good. I pray, before I give my request, I tell him who he is. Remind him, Lord, this is who you are. A heartfelt complaint that describes a suffering you're seeing or experiencing in honest and vivid terms. If you don't think it's righteous to make a heartfelt complaint before God, read the Bible. Okay? It's all throughout there. Lord, this is my beef. This is going on. This is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this down. You are, but this is what's going on. Number three is a confession of trust, even if you don't feel it. It's the Waymaker song. Lord, you are. This is what's been going on. This is what I don't like. This isn't right. Yet at the same time, I have to confess that the fig tree may not blossom, fruit be on the vines. Lord, you still are. You're the King of Kings. And number four is a prayer for deliverance and a statement of why God must do this to you. So you appeal to his character. I always do that. Lord, this is going on. I appeal to your character. An expression of thanks that God has heard you and will answer you is the last one. And what I'll say to this, I'm going to actually add something to this. Lord, this is who you are. I know who you are. This is my problem. But I'm coming to you with it because you want me to be healthy and whole spiritually and emotionally. And I want to come out of this better than when I went into it.
Amen.
And so, Lord, I give this to you. I want to be bitter, not better. I don't want resentment. I don't want... I've seen people, even in just the last few months, even who I thought were solid Christians, who, none of you, who will just, something doesn't go right, and they will walk away from even their faith in Christ. And it grieves my heart.
Yeah.
It grieves my heart. Buried within that somewhere is something they've never really allowed God to deal with fully. And they hide it, and they hide it, and they mask it, and it comes out in a moment of stress and tension. I don't want that to be me. Because frankly, all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. All of us are fallible before God. And we all of us need to get on our knees and say, God, I'm nothing without you. Jesus, I need you to help me. And so for your lament, I would encourage you to do it. Pray about it. Write it down. And I kept mine very private. It's in my prayer journal. But I write it before God. Lord, I give this to you. I want to walk with you through this. And I want to come out healthy and whole with this.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, I thank you for us here.